Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is your opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, we've had quite an interesting week last week, in the sense that the way these markets are beginning to line up going into very, very important central bank meetings this week, BOJ, we have the FOMC and the Bank of England as well. So it's a really important week structurally for these markets. And we've got some really interesting price action going into it. So let's break it down so that we can be mindful about what's coming down the tracks. And more importantly, how are we likely to position ourselves for those trading opportunities? So let's get straight into it. Good morning, everyone. Good to have you with us. Hope you had a good weekend. Please see our risk warning currently up on screen. And just as a quick introduction then, so all profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So there's thousands to choose from, which markets should get our attention, and more importantly, why are we focusing on those particular markets? Then we're looking at the entries and the exits in terms of your trading strategy. In addition to that, we've got risk management. I suppose it's important really during these current market conditions to really have tight control over your downside, something that shouldn't ever be forgotten ordinarily, but more so now, because the amount of sort of sideways moving volatility is really quite considerable. Trade management, when we get into that winning trade, how do we mitigate risk and look to take some of the risk away on each trade? Hopefully get yourself into a profitable position so it doesn't really matter what the markets then decide to do. And trading psychology, all very important features to trading financial markets. And we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms. So this is our plan session. It's really about the application of this planning session, which is what's important, of course. So we are strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital. And of course, we're quite often finding that patience is really important. So let's start with review to potential market moving news. So I spoke about the central bank. It's a big week for central banks this week. So today there's nothing of any major concern. We've had some Chinese data out overnight, and something like industrial production year-on-year numbers coming in way above expectations. So that's a positive there for the Chinese economy. Retail sales coming in pretty much in line with expectations. Now, so the first central bank that we'll be hearing from this week is in the early hours of tomorrow morning, and it's the Bank of Japan. So we get their decision on the shift in policy. So the markets are pricing in a 90% likelihood that the BOJ will begin to move their position on interest rates. I can see here that the forecast, it doesn't represent any shift in this policy rate from the BOJ. But there is a 90% chance that there either will be increasing rates, or there'll be widening their yield curve control measures, or perhaps removing them. I'm sure it's probably just a step-by-step process to begin with. So will the BOJ finally kick off their normalization process or not? This is what the question is. We're not really hearing anything at all from the BOJ. We've had periods over the last number of weeks and months where, you know, they had members of the BOJ coming out saying, yeah, we're going to normalize. And then the next day or the day after, we'd hear further updates from the BOJ saying, no, they got no interest in normalizing. So that's going to be a very important news event for financial markets. We wanted to position ourselves in that trade a little bit earlier. What we currently have is buy the rumor and potentially sell the fact type trades in the pipeline, in our opinion. So I'll share that with you in just a second. We also have the RBA. So they're expected to keep rates for 4.35, with the BOJ currently in negative territory. Will they start to go positive? That's likely to be a big shift. And if they do make a move, I suppose where we're likely to see this play out is in the yen pairs. We're likely to see some capital moving in towards the yen. And also, because the yen is likely to strengthen, the Nikkei is likely to roll over to the downside. So let's say we've already positioned ourselves in those trades. Let's see if we can stay in them. And let's see if we can kind of ride this potential upside that's coming down the tracks. Okay, so the RBA as well, just a few hours later. So obviously we won't be at our trading desks during this period, but we will be able to assess the aftermath tomorrow morning. We have the BOJ press conference as well. So in addition to that, we've got the only other thing for tomorrow is Canadian dollar CPI. I suppose one thing about the CPI thing more globally is the stickiness of it. We're not really getting down to 2% easily. You can see these rates here, they're expected to be in line with the previous month, which is not showing any major improvement, really. Just in terms of central bankers, or central banks, should we say, UK inflation numbers, we're likely to see a little improvement there, it seems. And then it's the big one. Then it's the... It's probably where most central banks get their cues from, and it's the federal funds rate, the FOMC, and that's on Wednesday, 5.5%. We don't end there. It's not. We're still going to be hearing from the Swiss National Bank, and we've got the Bank of England as well. So, major central banks this week. We've got the Euro Summit as well at the end of the week, and we'll be hearing from Jerome Powell. Just want to see a little bit more about this. Due to deliver opening remarks at the Fed Listeners event. Okay, so opening remarks is not the same as like a fireside chat. So yeah, not so important. So that's just a little review of the news. There's one sort of alarming aspect to these financial markets, and that's really what's going on in these bond markets. So let's... So if we bring the 10-year and the 2-year, you can see these are actually ticking a lot higher than this market is, that these markets are reacting to. So, you know, this kind of suggests that the near-term risks are actually increasing again. We don't really have much movement on the inflation story. And the easing or the calming really that we had experienced is now beginning to unwind, and those risks seem to be stacking up, and we're pretty close to breaking this little previous high in here, and same situation on the 10-year, and we've still got inverted markets, so we've still got, you know, 40-42 basis point differential between the 2 and the 10-year, but certainly the near-term risks do seem to be increasing quite considerably, and most of that is not being priced in whatsoever with these equity markets. And you could argue with the dollar as well, there's a lack of sort of coherent price action in these markets currently. So this is your sort of bubble like S&P 500, very close to all-time highs. Our expectations for these prices to eventually roll over. And we're just bouncing back a little bit today, but two strong bearish days closing out the week. Let's see, because if we do break out of this little range in here, what I'll do is, and we're seeing this bit of price action across quite a few of these markets. Oh, good morning, everyone. Good to have you with us. Do hope you've all had a good weekend. So look, let's get up our pen. So there's a couple of technical aspects to this type of setup. You can see our stop loss is actually at all-time highs. There it is. Okay. Right. So we've been in this pretty sort of narrow range, and it's getting tighter and tighter. So now we're at this little lower level here, you know, getting a little bit of a bounce. You know, it's very much in keeping with this upper trend. Now what we have is a double top up of these highs. So that's when these prices rally, we make a high, we pull back, and then we attempt to make a new high. And when that fails, that's it becomes a double top. So then that reinforces these levels up here. And this market now needs to work really quite hard to break through that level. Now, let's see if it will do, because like I said, this market is pretty much ignoring what's going on in the bond markets. It's just seems to be this everything bubble where there is just relentless buying, even sort of euphoric purchasing, which we know is not particularly sustainable, but it is what we've experienced for the last number of months. And this is at a time when these markets are expecting the FOMC to actually, well, if you went back 6 weeks ago, they were anticipating cutting rates six times. Now it's down to three times and it's had no impact. Now there's potential talk that it could be down to two times. So really, I mean, whether the news is good, bad, or indifferent, it just seems to be further upside. So it's going to be interesting to watch this price action today across the board in terms of these US indices up at elevated levels. Our expectation is that these will then roll back over to the downside. And when that happens, that's likely to be a really significant trade when these prices roll over. And we've been on this sort of linear rally since the end of October. We're still up at these levels, but you can see, I mean, the Dow Jones is a really good example, and it's probably a little bit more advanced than the NASDAQ and the S&P, but you can see the double top a little bit more clearly. And if this rolls over to the downside below the 38,500 level, then that implies actually a structural failure. And, you know, we know the wheels can come off pretty quickly. And these other, the German economy is not performing particularly well. We're teetering around zero growth with high inflation. So we've got a stagnating economy in Germany. But yet the DAX is, again, we're just continuing to see capital pile in to many of these equity markets at actually a really quite a concerning level. So look, our bias is to the downside for the Nikkei. Really with this news event in mind tomorrow morning, so really, we've had a bit more of a bullish response than we would have anticipated. However, we still, as long as we're in these trades, we want to try and stay in them as long as we possibly can. Now, we've got this situation with the yen where we've been in sort of a five-day little pullback phase. And you can see that across all the yen pairs. The dollar yen, pound yen, and the euro yen. So it's our expectation that we will see some big moves in the yen over the next few days, potentially starting tomorrow morning. And watching price action in the build-up to a major event like this is always quite interesting, because you always get that little bit of price action going into I suppose something that the markets are pretty much expecting. And this is to, I suppose, from a psychological perspective, this creates a bit of doubt in the mind of retail traders, because, you know, we could expect it to continue to roll over to the downside. So what you often find is a little bit of repricing, a little bit of bullish price action coming in on the rumor that the BOJ are going to cut, which is a bit counterintuitive. And then you get the actual move when they do cut. So buy the rumor, sell the fact. And we're already in these trades, in the yen trades. So we don't really need to sell the fact. We're already selling the potential for the BOJ to move. And that's why we've got a slightly different approach to this particular trade. And markets like the Nikkei is a part of that sort of overall view. We're just seeing some counterintuitive price action in the build-up to that event. Okay, so these US indices, they're kind of bouncing off their lows. So the buy trades, if you want to buy all-time highs, are revealing themselves and are potentially there again to get into these trades. As you know, we've been very reluctant to be able to buy all-time highs. We'd much prefer to sort of sell a bit of a corrected move, like the S&P is a really good example. Our expectation is for this market to actually correct to some reasonable fashion. And if we did get a corrected move off the highs, we pulled back into strong support level, we would probably be advocates of kind of buyers down at this lower level to see if we start making new highs again. But every time you get an opportunity to buy these markets, they're pretty much at all-time highs. So and that's historically been a bit of a problem for us. Now, if you were willing to buy all-time highs, you would have had a great period since the end of October. There is other forces driving this sentiment. And if you're comfortable with that, then the trades are there. But we've never been fully comfortable with a very sort of bubble-like market condition. Okay, so it looks like there's an opportunity to buy these equity markets. So a bit of risk on price action. On Friday and Thursday of last week, we had a bit more of a risk-off trade. So that we keep sort of moving from that risk-on to risk-off on a relatively regular basis. So this is the interesting element, is the dollar. So are we going to get some dollar strength? Thursday of last week was an important bit of price action. We started to see the equity market sell off. We started to see some capital coming into the dollar. That has pretty much ground to a halt now. It seems. So the dollar has been, it's been really quite strong against the yen, but not really performing against most of these other currencies. Friday's price action in the dollar Swiss, it's very much consolidative and sort of sideways moving. So this is really the price action in the dollar Swiss. So a confirmed break to the upside or a rollover to the downside would be really good moves for us. But at the minute, we're just in this little sort of frustrating little sideways pattern. Similar kind of analysis, really. We've tried to roll over to the downside. We've tried to make new highs. And we're still sort of generally trading above and below that sort of central line, with prices looking like they're going to come back towards it yet again. I suppose with the slightly stronger crude oil price, and we're still in this trade to the upside, and hopefully we will make progress, further progress. We're up at $81 now. We have a take profit around 83.5, I think it is. So still plenty upside potential, and it's just breaking out of this sideways moving range really for us. So there's a lot of resistance up at these highs, and this is just your breakout trade to the upside. So we expect this to rally up to 82, 83. So yeah, it's the 8100. Okay, so anything in gold for us? So crude oil above 8100. or $81, and gold actually below the 2150. S&P. Okay, let's do our little trade plan then. It's a little bit indecisive, really, across the dollar pairs. The dollar's strong against some, it's weak against others. Okay, so let's amend our trade plan, and we'll post it into the chat box for you guys, and you can take it away. So we were looking at sort of risk-off conditions on Thursday and Friday. Now, unfortunately, they're slightly risk-on, but we do have increasing bond yields. We do have the potential for a stronger dollar. So we have elements of risk-off built in. We probably need to see how these markets play out over the course of the day and certainly going into this week. So what we can expect is significant volatility. We're probably likely to get to grips with a few decent opportunities. We'll put crude oil in here. Right above $81. Gold is that sell below the 2150 is still in play. You see, the dollar really is a bit of a mixed bag, and it has been for the last few weeks as well. We're still looking for the yen to roll over, which it hasn't done just yet. Okay, US indice weakness, dollar strength. They're kind of poor quality trades. So let's see if I can find my pen. Bear with me. Right. So what we'll do is bring the commodity. So, okay, so in terms of this week's trade plan, it's going to be quite reactionary because of the central banks and the precarious nature of inflation and potential rate cuts. And the inflation narrative seems to be really impacting the central bank's abilities to start cutting rates, which is absolutely what their intention is. So, all right, let's wrap it up then. So today's summary is very much around mild risk on market conditions. So there is equity markets are looking mildly positive. Not really wanting to put money where our mouth is with that positivity, because if that rolls over to the downside, we'd probably much prefer to look to get into that sell trade, especially if we break sort of important daily lows from last week. So we do want to keep our options open in terms of equity prices. We keep an eye on NVIDIA as well during the because that's likely to be a bit of a catalyst for, you know, further weakness feeding through. So a huge week for these markets. What we can look for is a bit of, especially if the dollar starts to strengthen, a little bit of an opportunity in gold below 2150. Crude oil looking to get into or to stick with it above $81. We're already in that trade already, and we want to keep all of our options open at this point. So not a particularly clear-cut trade plan, as you can see. I'll post that there into the chat box, guys. That's kind of the market conditions. That's what we kind of have to work with today. And it is Monday morning as well, so not often the most productive of market conditions, but all eyes on the BOJ starting tomorrow morning, in the early hours of tomorrow morning. All right, then, guys, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much for joining us. The narratives are a little bit up and down. You could sort of today, currently, you could focus on the risk on trade, but then you've got issues with bond yields are actually moving higher rather than moving lower. The dollar is showing potential some signs of strength, and the commodity picture is kind of up and down as well. Crude oil is pushing higher. The gold is actually potentially rolling over to the downside. So this market is not particularly coherent really at this point in proceedings. So we're quite comfortable in waiting for the high probability trade to come around. And that's the hard bit. All right, then, guys, on that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us. As always, we switch rooms. If you want to join us in our live trade room, where we can look to sort of set up these charts and see where we're likely to find the best trades, then join us for that. Great stuff, guys. On that note, listen, thanks for joining us. If you are interested in learning how to trade these financial markets, you can access one of our discounted live trading and education bundles on our website, and it starts at just $59 per month. For more information, just go to thelivetradingroom.com. Great stuff. On that note, guys, we'll see you in the other room for those of you that can join us, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.